Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Train as frequent as possible for growth. This is one of the questions that we've gotten from on our IG page was, if higher frequency across the week, better for growth if volume is the same. And over the past 2 years, I feel like the volume topic is just nonstop. And maybe this will just be continually ever debated on how do you define volume? How do you spread it out? How do you get the most or the least? And at least for today, we just want to kind of navigate some of the waters around the training frequency and how you're distributing volume for the week and determining if one route is better for hypertrophy.
Yeah, I think, you know, we see extreme end ranges of these frequency volume landmarks, right? And probably frequency landmarks more than anything of some of these top pros doing one time per week type split setups. And then, you know, even some people who have significant muscle tissue doing something like full body, like when we were in Dubai, the owner of Dungeon, he trains on like that full body every day split and just kind of hits those landmarks across a week. So it gets interesting when you kind of have that discussion, because like there's great physiques built both ways. It's more than one way to skin a cat for sure. But how do we pull the most out of somebody?
I think where this kind of came about, well, for one, it's been in the trenches for a while. I mean, there's when I first switched into bodybuilding, I did Brian Haycock's hypertrophy specific training, which it was the most evidence-based thing like I kind of read through, but it was 3 days per week of basically full body. And man, the workouts were like, it was like approaching, for me, 3 hours long, because I was coming from powerlifting and so strong. So it took me so long to warm up for like all these lifts.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, if you look across just the past years, there's always been some type of frequency approach, or even guys still doing single body part stuff. But then I think in these later years, we've now come into hypertrophy research, where we had some initial like meta analysis done looking at training frequency and showing like training something around 2, maybe even 3 days per week was better for hypertrophy. However, once they got a little bit more nitpicky on the studies and you volume equated, because we're learning more like, you know, volume is kind of this main driver. If we define volume all the same, gosh, that's a rabbit hole. But if volume is equated, the same number of sets per week, whether you're doing them all in one session or all in two sessions, at least in the research world, it doesn't seem to make a significant difference over that time course they're studying in. Then you even need to look at the exact subjects within that design. And I think if you look in the actual trenches of what we see done, you see guys doing bro splits, you see guys doing more higher frequency approaches, and it kind of, the path all leads to the same type of progress. Now, we want to get there as fast as possible and take the highway and not the side road, right? So, you know, how do you break apart when you could get more out of that volume? Because volume is not all the same. You could equate it across the week, right? Like if we're doing 10 sets, could do them all in one day, or you could do 5 sets on 2 days. But does that quality start to drop off in that first session? Does that matter? And what is that quality, right? Is it, you know, you're not able to keep up with the same type of stamina, or fatigue so high that it's causing, you know, drastic drops in performance? And does that necessitate a second session?
Not to add a third layer to this, but it's where my brain goes, so I'm going to let it go there. Do you think this is partially body part specific too on the performance drop off?
Yeah. I was just listening to another podcast and I forget who he quoted in it, but basically bodybuilding was trying to train as hard as you can, as long as you can, as frequently as you can, something along those lines, and with keeping in mind like your recovery, But there's been some guys that just, man, just, I think it was John Meadows. He had one program, and Scott Stevenson, they were, I think they were training together. And basically, when they were recovered, you would just train the muscle again. So it's that's almost the best way to kind of give you some ideas around your recoverability and what it was from that past session you just did, whether it's maybe quads or side delts. But, I mean, I'll tell you right now, you do 10 sets of quads versus 10 sets of side delts. It's going to be a pretty big difference on how soon you'd be able to do that session again. And I do think it is body part specific. And I think you have to consider the amounts of different ranges you need to hit and patterns for that muscle group in a session, right? Because if you do a lateral raise for a side delt, how many other different exercises do you need in that day to stimulate different fiber arrangements or patterns, right? It's like you don't really need anything. And so how many sets do you need of that till you're like, man, that muscle is pretty fried? For a beginner, that's probably earlier on, then it probably moves up a bit as you're more advanced to some point where you're just not getting anything else out of it. So I think that's when you see the point of like drastic drop in performance. Like the muscle's full blown pumped. There's nothing else coming out of it. You're like, all right, that's kind of like the end point for the day. There's plenty of stimulus there. And then that would then you'll probably be able to train that side delt again in two to even 3 days.
Yeah. That's where the frequency discussion for me becomes pretty variable, because the quality of the work done tells you a lot about the frequency metric the individual can handle. And so, like, I typically look for red flags in this. So someone who is ready for a leg session, you know, 2 or 3 days after they would have had a leg session already, let's say like quad specific work specifically, that is going to concern me from a quality metric that that's not carrying over. And so when we start to look at frequency across the board, like just kind of general statements and how we tend to set up program design, on the average, I tend to lean towards twice per week, just because the quality metric is what I'm trying to pull the most out of these individuals of, you know, 5 sets on one day and 5 sets on the second. Those second 5 sets done earlier on in the second day is going to be a lot higher performance wise than it would be earlier on. This is not anything new, but what I will say is for body parts that are smaller, I tend to break it up more because that quality metric doesn't drop off with the higher frequency. So like you might see in some of my programs, like delts done pretty much every second to third day with that same volume equated, because I know that this athlete needs side delts specifically, and doing it first across 3 sessions per week, I can get the most out of them performance wise and not have that carry over in other sessions.
I think if you're listening to that too, it's also depends on what do you need, right? So if you need delts and you're not getting a lot out of those few sets, you need to maybe you do need to increase the sets a bit, and maybe that means training it more frequently. However, someone else with massive delts, they'll probably get a lot more stimulus out of that same set than someone that has a really hard time growing that body part. So they might need less sets in a session. And even then, they might only need to do them once or twice a week, and then they just grow. So the response to that stimulus varies a lot than that other person that maybe has, you know, the weaker point being their delts and requires more stimulus per session and more frequency to give that stimulus to grow.
Yeah, 100%. And that's kind of where you have to then overlay the experience of the athlete in that. And start to pull out why you see people still make so much physique progress with these lower frequency body part or lower frequency split setups. So a lot of those guys are high level pros that are already pulling so much out of each set that they're doing that it really doesn't take too much more higher frequency stimulus unless they're bringing up a lacking body part, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it was James Krieger, he has his analysis on like weightology where he's looking at there's a like maybe a minimum threshold of amount of sets per week needed to cause enough stimulus for an adaptation, right? So for a beginner, that's probably pretty low. Maybe it is 1 or 2 sets, but as you get more advanced, that's just maybe not cut it as much. You might need a little bit more. So, you know, if you had someone doing 6 sets per week, if you did one set over 6 days, does that mean the same as doing six sets in one session? And maybe that one set just isn't meeting that threshold anymore to cause enough stimulus for the adaptation. So there probably is, as you get more advanced, you need to do enough in a session. And I kind of lean more into that of like, keep building up the session volume within it until it's pushing the bounds of being too much. And you see that like gym performance drop off. Then you move that volume into your next session to keep that stimulus up high. But at least we know in one session, you adequately check the box of getting enough stimulus to occur. And I think just looking anecdotally, like if we look at the guys that stay on kind of the bro split once a week body part, they make tremendous progress. And for sure, they're checking the box of, hey, enough was done in one session. I think kind of the con to that is that there is a point where so much muscle damage could occur to where it could limit the adaptation to hypertrophy. And you can only recover from so much, even though you have another 7 days before you train that body part again. So there is still like some positive takeaway from the once per week training, but I think that's kind of the negative side of it too. So how much do you really need in that session before you might be limiting your hypertrophy adaptations? And are those going to last for a whole week after one session? It's likely not. It's likely within that 3 to 4 day period, I think that's probably going to max you out. So it's where you find that middle ground to bring it back down to where it's not so much volume in the session, but also not too little either. So just more frequency doesn't always mean it's going to be better.
There's also a client schedule management portion of frequency that I think needs to be considered in this conversation, where we obviously assume a client can be adherent, right? But typically, higher frequency programs, so things that cover more body parts per session, are a little bit easier to adhere to than these things that break it up quite a bit, because people with extremely busy schedules will miss a session or miss two sessions, or maybe they only have 4 days per week available to train, and it kind of forces the hand of the frequency. So I've actually done this quite a bit recently with people that I coach that have coaching businesses taking off, where I've dialed their programming back into 4 days per week of training with that frequency metric being extremely high, where if they can get a fifth session that week, it's great, but the majority of weeks they're training 4 days per week and hitting those landmarks across four sessions. But now the frequency across those 4 days has to be really high to do that. And so it actually could be a tool to increase adherence to hitting landmarks if you are dealing with people that run extremely busy schedules.
Are you doing like push-pull legs and the fourth session is like an upper session, or do those days just rotate? Like upper, lower?
Yeah, so person dependent, I tend to lean towards PPL auxiliary. So like the auxiliary day being the body part they need the most of, plus making up any landmarks that we might need from the other body parts. I have written upper lower for a couple of them, but I tend to lean towards more letting them stay in the body parts that kind of group together fairly easily. A lot of times what ends up happening, that auxiliary day turns into a hamstring back day. So it may look something like pull legs, push posterior chain. And that's kind of the organization of it. And that way they're getting quite a bit of a stimulus across the week. Because on that first leg day, they can do some extra delt work.
Yeah, I've programmed it where you have the variable client where they might have that one session could be missed, but they could get it in and want to go train. Just leave like a rotating split. Mm-hmm. So if it is push-pull legs, 1 week you just train push-pull legs, but oh man, I can get this other session in. Cool. Push, pull legs, push. Then the next week it restarts on pull. And as long as those days align up okay with like a pulled and a leg session and whatnot, but I program it out to where it would be okay. To where that, well, no matter the days, it's like this is just your split you rotate through. Mm-hmm. If some days you have a bit more frequency, that's okay, because then that next week you might have less and you just have more recovery because of it. So there's two different ways, client dependent on what they need and probably their job and requirements around recovery for those days where they might be training a bit more. It's not going to be the it'll never be an optimal way, but we just work with what you can do. And I think it's okay. Like the days we have more time to train, you throw in more stimulus and that's perfectly fine. It doesn't need to be every week has to be the same. If you are that person that lives the bodybuilding lifestyle, and then we could really try to optimize volume to where we're really pushing the border of, you know, recovering and getting the most stimulus. But the problem lies when you do have that variable schedule, which is for most people, this is a variable life. It doesn't have to be a schedule to where if you're pushing that boundary of stimulus and recovery, that you just dig a hole for them 1 week and that's it. You know, then you have to back down for another week. So you kind of lose 2 weeks off that client. But
You try to ride the midline when you have that situation.
I think it's better to train a little less and be able to recover than ride it so close that you end up just burying yourself quick. Yeah. So
agreed. Is there, in my opinion, there's also an injury conversation around frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is one thing I've learned on leg training, for at least for myself. And just to maybe, you know, frame that up for anyone else that has maybe a strong body part. Like if you do a few sets, like for me, a few sets of quads, like one set, they're like blown up. Like I get a high stimulus out per set. So I don't need a lot. And also if I do a lot, like even 6 to 7 sets in a session, man, it can wreck me for like 4 days. And if I try to hit that session again, like twice a week, that's when I've gotten injuries because I just cannot recover the same way from that and just past experiences with leg training and limitations. So if you have that body part that just really grows well, doesn't take a lot, the repetitiveness can be more problematic than the lower frequency approach and just doing more in 1 day. So if I wanted to bring out quads more, man, I would just trash them 1 day and then give myself the entire week to actually recover, because it's harder, especially advanced being stronger, for how long it takes to warm up. And the risk is then starts getting higher with, even if I'm doing, say, a squat 1 day, then maybe it's a leg press, which should be a little bit less risky. Even then, it's still like more repetitive connective tissue loading. That is what causes me to have recurrent issues.
It's something I've thought about, like if I ever toyed with the idea of like doing it one last time, of like what would that frequency metric be of like the programs. Like, 'cause right now I just like upper lower, get it in when you can. Like if I can get 3 days, great. But if not, like whatever. I think I would do full body to start, to reintroduce, because the frequency at which I could train is variable. And so I could guarantee that I'm providing a stimulus to all body parts every week. And so like, that's like the schedule side of it. But on the injury side of it, that concerns me with my knee because of the knee injuries that I've had in the past. And so like, I'm thinking about how my knee would hold up for that. And it's just, these are the things that you have to go through when you're looking at frequency within individuals. Is it's not one way to organize frequency for a training program. It's relative to the variables that that client has in play. And that optimal, as we've pointed out in various different episodes, is adherence and consistency across the long haul, because they're going to get more out of that than kicking themselves for missing a session or for not being able to do a pattern because they're injured or whatever that may be. And then that's where we can start to play with frequency as a metric of volume that pulls the most out of that athlete.
Yeah, it's there's nothing special about the frequency, I would say. Mm-mm. It's just a way you're organizing your volume, and volume being the most important aspect. So if you're getting enough in a session, you can recover from it, then that's pretty solid. And when you feel like you're recovered, you train that again. And that, in turn, just kind of lets you find that organization of your volume that's going to allow you to give enough stimulus and still be able to recover from the next session. And we get these questions all the time about what kind of split should I do if I want to bring up X body part? And it's not the right question. It's, you know, look at currently, what are you currently doing and how you're growing for one, then do you need to do more and how would we organize that now for the week? And then that would then dictate the split design. For many people, you might not need to change anything. might just need to reorganize within session volume, which is another aspect, right? Like bring some volume up earlier in the session to get better quality, or a lot of times just lift better, and that will improve the quality of your sets, and you don't necessarily need any more volume. But to go back around to the actual question, does higher frequency lead to greater hypertrophy if volume is equated? And it depends, right? It depends. And that's just the honest answer, which no one is going to like, because it truly is nuanced. Like Luke and I kind of went into all the different aspects around this and the variables that could weigh into how frequently you'd be training. And just anecdotally, we see like both can work really well. It just depends how it's set up. There's pros and cons to each one. And along your, from being a beginner to experienced athlete, it's going to vary too. So yeah, it truly does depend. But at least if you looked at a few research studies, it's like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. But we know it is more nuanced than that. And I would, as a bodybuilder, looking to get the most stimulus in a session and be able to recover and train again as frequently as I would be able to do so to grow as fast as possible. So if you kind of adhere around that thought process, you will eventually find where your volume, you know, landmarks would be, and to be able to do that over at least a good chunk of time without needing to deload or fall apart, leads you to what you're going to find is the program that aligns best for you. I've always kind of fallen back to the same type of split design that I've found that works well. And usually it's from, well, I got injured, so I can't train it that frequently or with that much volume. And I know these other body parts, they just don't get a lot of stimulus on those days. So now they need a lot more volume, which in turn has led to higher frequencies in certain areas. And now I have like kind of my split design that just stays always in place. And I try something different, I usually go right back to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that complicated. Just make it work for you.
Yeah, people really want to overcomplicate it. I think just start training. Yeah, find something reasonable, train, and just be introspective. And that's why I think the logbook is going to be so important too. It's going to be your best metric if you're getting enough stimulus in a session and if you're recovering. So if you feel amazing and your lifts aren't moving up, you probably do need to do a bit more. If you feel terrible going into your next training session, your lifts aren't improving, you might have done too much. And so you can use that logbook as a diagnostic tool to the amount of stimulus you get and how much recovery you have. And that's how would be a little bit more objective route to go. I think we have a lot of conversation that's interesting around setting up a program. And I think what you really need to do is just let it ride, man. Like I put a program together and I just train, and then quickly within that session, I can know what's working and what's not. And if the flow feels right and makes some changes on the fly, and after a week or two, I have it down. So I think we start just overanalyzing just even the program on paper. It's like, just go do it. It's okay. Like people ask, could I deadlift before my, you know, squats in 2 days? Like go try it. Like it's okay. If you recover, then do it. Some people won't be able to, then you don't do it. Don't do it the next week. That's okay. So with all this frequency aspect, it's, you know, just let it ride out and see how it plays out. You can always change it.
Agreed.
Anything else to add here? Like, I think that might be.
No, it. I think that's it. I think the let it ride portion is just the portion I would say, like, give it time so you can see the results before you go making changes, because too frequent changes causes just as bad of a problem.
Well, if you're on YouTube watching this, let us know below. Do you think training more frequently can lead to more hypertrophy than training once per week? Until next time, we'll talk to you then.